Title: The CIT Strikes Again. Section 122 Tariffs Declared Unlawful by U.S. Court of International Trade. Content: On May 7, 2026, a divided three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of International Trade, CIT, issued a significant, but carefully bounded, opinion. The court held that the 10% across-the-board import tariffs imposed under Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974 are unlawful. The Section 122 tariffs were issued by the Trump administration to replace the IEEPA tariffs held invalid by the U.S. Supreme Court in February 2026. While the decision has generated considerable attention in the trade community, its practical impact on most importers is, for now, limited. Here is what you need to know. 1. The court's opinion and order applies narrowly. President Trump introduced the global Section 122 tariff due to fundamental international payments problems via Proclamation No. 11012. The CIT, in a 2-to-1 opinion, issued a permanent injunction against enforcing the Section 122 tariff, but only with respect to three parties: the State of Washington and its instrumentalities, Burlap and Beryl Incorporated, and Basic Fun Incorporated. Every other importer in the United States is unaffected by the injunction. Moreover, the court held it had no standing over non-importer of record plaintiffs. The majority's analysis centered on whether the president invoked Section 122 within its statutory limits, specifically, whether the proclamation asserted the existence of the conditions required under the statute. The parties did not dispute that Section 122 requires the existence of large and serious United States balance of payments deficits. The parties also agreed that whether such deficits are large and serious is a discretionary executive determination. The threshold question was what balance of payments deficits means in the first place, a question which the majority addresses by examining legislative intent. The court examined the history of the Trade Act of 1974, finding that Congress understood balance of payments deficits to refer specifically to deficits measured by 1. Liquidity, 2. Official settlements, or 3. Basic balance, the three metrics addressed in Senate Finance Committee reports at the time of enactment. The court held that, rather than identifying balance of payment deficits as intended, Proclamation No. 11012 instead relied on current account deficits and trade deficits, which the majority held to be distinct from balance of payments deficits. Because the proclamation nowhere identified a balance of payments deficit within the meaning of Section 122 as enacted in 1974, the court held it to be ultra vires and invalid as contrary to law. Why did the injunction apply so narrowly? The answer lies in the court's standing analysis. The court found that the standing inquiry for the importer plaintiffs, the State of Washington, Burlap and Beryl, and Basic Fun, was straightforward. As direct importers facing imminent and certain duty payments, they readily demonstrated a concrete and particularized injury. The 23 additional states which were plaintiffs on the suit were not importers of merchandise. The same could not be said for the remaining 23 non-importer plaintiffs. The court found it necessary to examine their standing to inform the scope of any relief it might award, because those non-importer plaintiffs sought a universal injunction to remedy indirect harm they claimed to suffer. None of the non-importer state plaintiffs, however, identified actual indirect harm resulting from Section 122 duties. Instead, they urged the court to find imminent injury based on their past experiences with IEEPA duties, a speculative showing that fell short of Article 3 standing. Because the non-importer plaintiffs lacked standing, the court dismissed all of their claims were without prejudice. On the question of universal injunctive relief, the court declined to issue such relief. The court found standing only with respect to the importer plaintiffs and concluded that those plaintiffs could be made whole by a specific injunction, along with refunds with interest for any Section 122 duties paid before the injunction takes effect. Additionally, the private plaintiffs made no specific arguments for a universal injunction. 2. The government is already at the Federal Circuit. The administration moved quickly. The Department of Justice has filed an appeal and an entry of appearance at the Federal Circuit, along with motions to stay the